Good afternoon, and welcome to the program God and Country, a program where we look at current issues in the light of the Bible. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. God has given us written revelation to be our guide in this mixed-up world. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I hope you're in the Word every day. I hope you're finding joy and peace in God's truth. Today's program is the first of a two-part series about our national debt. Today, we will look at the budget deficit. Next week, the trade deficit. Both of these are significant moral issues in our time. I say moral issues because, although many would like to deny it, there is a moral dimension to our national financial choices and the subsequent consequences. The national debt stands at $13 trillion. We've been adding $0.5 trillion to the debt every year since 2003. In 2008, we added $1 trillion, and in 2009, we added $1.9 trillion. All of the additional borrowing was for the bank bailout and the government stimulus program. Of all government spending, $4.8 trillion is from government revenue. $1.5 trillion is borrowed. So about a quarter to a third of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. How long can that be sustained? Well, it can't be. Yet no one in government has the will to cut the government by one-third. And if taxes were raised to make up the difference, the economy would collapse, and in the end, less taxes would be brought in. The problem with the deficit is really a problem of out-of-control spending. Like in your own family, when you're in debt, the problem is you are living above your means. Washington will spend $30,000 per household in 2010, $5,000 more than just 2 years ago. Your portion of the national debt is about $125,000. The unsustainability of this deficit is more certain because it's projected that the interest rate on our debt cannot be kept low indefinitely. When interest rates return to their normal levels, the burden of interest on our debt will cripple our government. And now that the American population is growing older, Social Security is paying out more than it takes in, and the government will no longer be able to borrow from Social Security, but will need to pay back into Social Security. And furthermore, there are not enough domestic or foreign sources of money to fund the U.S. deficit. Who is going to service this debt? The heavy debt and eventual bankruptcy of America is not just a financial mistake, but it's due to the sin of covetousness and greed, causing the American people to demand more and more entitlements and services, and a refusal to pay the taxes for their services in the present. It's also due to the sin of laziness, which causes many Americans to create for themselves comfy government jobs, and hence a bloated, bureaucratic ruling class. The national debt is a moral issue. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses lays out for the new nation of Israel the blessing that will come upon the nation if they keep God's law, and then the curse that will come upon the nation if they fail to keep God's law. If the nation keeps the law of God, then it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its seasons, to bless all of the works of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, and you will be above, and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. Notice in this text a specific emphasis on not borrowing or not having a need to borrow. But the text goes on, if the nation begins to disobey God's law, a curse is given. God would curse their economy with debt. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. Now, the question that always arises when the Mosaic Law is quoted in regard to our own day is this. Does the provision of the Mosaic Covenant apply to Gentile nations today? Or is this a curse and blessing only for Israel? Let me respond with this question. Can a Gentile nation depart from God's moral law in regard to morals and finances and still be successful? Of course not. The principle given to Israel still applies to all nations. As it is stated in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, not just to Israel. Now, no one on the national scene is talking about our national debt as being an indisputable sign of a national curse from God. The debt is excused as an economic reality in modern times or a temporary aberration. But is not this denial of the spiritual dimension part of the problem? Because our leaders do not know the Word of God, they are not alarmed by the debt, and they do not act ethically when it comes to making financial decisions. In fact, one of the ways God allows a nation to be cursed is that He allows the leaders, by their own ignorance of God's Word, to become foolish and spineless when it comes to making decisions. A financial moral blindness comes upon our leaders. The text in Deuteronomy says that blindness is also part of the curse. Deuteronomy 28:28, "You will grope at noon, as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually, with none to save you." The picture is of a man who can't see the way to go even though the sun is high in the sky. In other words, he will overlook the obvious and ignore the simple solutions. Most of us hear the news about the government spending trillions of dollars that it doesn't have, and millions being wasted studying the life cycle of the frog or some other petty activity. Washington will spend $600,000 on an archive honoring the Grateful Dead. The General Accounting Office classified that nearly half of all purchases on government credit cards are improper, fraudulent, and embezzlement. Government employees have put on their cards mortgage payments, liquor, lingerie, iPods, Xboxes, jewelry, Hawaiian vacations. A few years ago, the Department of Treasury admitted that there was $25 billion unaccounted for. It was spent somewhere, but they have no idea where it went. Then there is the wasteful redundancy in federal programs, and the overlap is costing taxpayers billions. There are 342 economic development programs, 130 programs serving the disabled, 130 programs serving at-risk youth, 90 early childhood development programs. All this redundancy creates waste. The Census Bureau spent $2.5 million on Super Bowl ads convincing us to fill out the census. Because many federal employees fly first class over coach, it costs taxpayers an additional $146 million every year. In addition to all this, the federal deficit itself is wasteful. The interest payments are more than the government spends on education or highways. And in a few years, it may be more than we spend on defense. In fact, if the Congress would have tightened its belt and never started borrowing money years ago, the savings from not having to pay the interest would come close to covering our current yearly deficit. The American taxpayers read about this government waste and think, how can our leaders be so foolish? Any good business owner could fix the federal government in less than a year and still provide the same level of services for literally half the current cost. But the politicians are blind and powerless, having tied themselves up with special interest groups, lawyers, entitlement laws, political patronage, and layers of bureaucratic red tape, so that even if a politician wants to change a system, the entrenched bureaucrats who live off the government waste prohibit it. They cry to the media that such and such a senator, by being frugal, is being mean and uncompassionate. The politicians are inept, cowardly, powerless. just as the scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. They will grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and you will not prosper in your way, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Only when America becomes a righteous nation in all of her theology and morals will God allow this financial disaster to turn around. Until then, expect to be oppressed and robbed continually. We will continue to get foolish leaders. Last year, when the Democratic president and the legislators passed the stimulus bill, Alan Keyes had this to say in an interview. Now, this is lengthy, but it's so well said. Quote, "This is insanity. It is as if we have put insane children and adolescents in charge of our government. And I think we need to ask a simple question. A couple of years ago, we were arguing over every penny in the United States budget, and it was quite clear we didn't have enough money to go around. Will somebody tell me where we came up with $2 trillion in the course of the last 6 months? Did we wish for it out of the air? Have people gone mad in this country? We don't have the money. We are claiming a bankrupt government can save a bankrupt banking system. Explain to me how that happens, because I don't think it's possible. We are all acting like the laws of economics have been repealed, and we can actually afford to foot the bill with money nobody has. This is insanity, and it has to lead to the collapse of our economy, and it's going to happen." Unquote. Alan Keyes was the man who was running against Barack Obama's Senate seat, but the people of Chicago didn't like the honest conservative message of Alan Keyes. They instead chose to believe the positive-sounding promises of Barack Obama, and the people will reap the fruit of their choice. But when Alan Keyes calls the leaders of our country insane children and adolescents, he was reflecting a biblical truth. God said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4, that as her punishment, he will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. The Hebrew word for capricious children describes those destructive children you come across now and then that destroy everything they put their hand on. That is what the leaders of a wicked nation will do. They will drive the nation into the ground. They will sell the store. The text goes on. Listen and see if this describes what's happening in America today. "For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against his glorious presence. The expression of their face bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Say to the righteous, it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their action. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly with him, for what he deserves will be done to him. O my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. O my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your path." Having a background in business and economics, I've been watching this confusing path for the last 20 years. And it's not as if the politicians have said, "Let's spend a bunch of money so we can bankrupt the United States." It has been much more subtle than that. The financial mess was all brought about with good intentions. Not true godly intentions, but what the world would call good intentions. It's easy to conclude that the deficit has been so outrageous that this must be some sort of planned conspiracy to bankrupt the United States, so a one-world government could be established. Well, that might be the end result, but I believe the leaders have done it unknowingly. I have heard many mainstream conservative talk show hosts who imply that the collapse of the American economy is a plan by the Democrats to destroy capitalism. After all, no politician or bureaucrat could have been this dumb to run up this much debt unless it was their plan. The enemies of America must have done this. Well, the conspiracy advocates often overlook how stupid people can be. It really can be sheer incompetence. Jesus called the leaders of his day blind leaders of the blind. The leaders themselves were blind to what they were doing. And because of blindness in morals and ethics, I believe the leaders in our country have lost financial common sense and have been taken in by very sophisticated, misleading economic arguments. What I would like you to learn today from the program is this: how men with PhDs in economics who boast in their wisdom have made fatal choices that have destroyed this nation. When God's blessing is off a people, the counsel of wise men will be frustrated. Psalm 33:10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of nations. He frustrates the plans of the people. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? I'd like to quickly review some of the foolish counsel that economists are following in our day. John Maynard Keynes was a British economist who lived in the first half of the 20th century. He developed what is now known as Keynesian economic theory. In short, he believed that the governments could regulate business cycles by financial policy. And the job of government is to stimulate the economy in downtimes, even to deficit spend to get the economy going again. Keynes' theory has been refuted by many economists as promoting foolish, wasteful government spending. But his theories ring true for those who are preconditioned to believe that the government can solve all problems through manipulating the economy. Keynes was a social Darwinist, and his theories have always been popular with those who believe in government spending. The recent enormous deficit spending to stimulate the economy is based on our current administration's belief in Keynesian economics. Politicians have been thoroughly convinced that borrowing doesn't matter. Someone once asked Keynes, "Your theories seem to work in the short term, but what about the long-term consequences?" Well, his famous answer was, "In the long term, we're all dead." Keynesian economics tries to cheat the system by putting off to the future the consequences of an unfair, unjust deficit spending policy. Just like all sin sacrifices the future for the present. But payday is someday. The point I want to make here is not a lecture on economic theory, but we live in a world that our leaders really believe creating federal deficits is a good thing. The very thing that will bankrupt us is believed to be good. And this is God's judicial blindness upon our nation. The next deception that inspires politicians to run up budget deficits is this belief that by expanding government and entitlement programs, the government is putting people back to work. But for every dollar spent by the government, it's $1 taken away from the public, $1 that the public can't spend. So how then is government spending stimulating the economy? It's not. In fact, it hurts the economy because it can be proved that the public is more efficient in spending money than the government. We would be much wealthier of a nation if most of the 20 million federal employees worked on the floors of our nation's factories. Thomas Jefferson said, "I predict future happiness for America if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of people under the pretense of taking care of them." Well, another deception that justifies these federal deficits is this adage, "We only owe it to ourselves." This was Roosevelt's answer to his deficit spending back in the 1930s and 40s. Well, that might have been true 75 years ago, but our current debt is being financed by foreign nations. China carries $1 trillion of our debt obligations. The interest payments go overseas, and the principal owed represents future work we must do for these nations. And yes, we do owe most of it to ourselves. All of the money collected from Social Security has been borrowed and spent by the government to run current operations. But is that honest? The whole idea of borrowing money from the public and from government trust funds, rather than taxing the public, is a deception that creates all sorts of economic disincentives. And the final justification for deficit spending is that the government doesn't have to worry about debt because it can always get rid of the debt by printing money. The Federal Reserve recently printed $1 trillion to reduce the federal deficit, and the world didn't come to an end. But if you know anything about economics, you know that printing money to get rid of a deficit will result in inflation rates of 15, 20, 30, 50%, and the confidence in the dollar will collapse. Inflation is a way of taxing everyone across the board without having to endure the political ramifications of raising taxes. In fact, the government deliberately prints enough money every year to keep the inflation rate at between 2 and 3%. Why? Well, over time, inflation will reduce what it takes to pay off our debt. With even a 2% inflation rate, within 20 years, our $13 trillion debt will be cut in half. Plus, many economists believe inflation is good grease for the economy because it gives people a false sense of earning more and in getting more for their homes. So is there anything wrong with this? Well, most conservative economists believe it takes away purchasing power, it cheats the public, it destroys incentives to produce and save, it breeds distrust and dishonesty in the system. But above all, it violates God's laws of economics. It's called a false weight. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35, "You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt." Proverbs 16, 11, "A just balance and scales belong to the Lord." Proverbs 20, 10, "Differing weights and differing measures, both of them are an abomination to the Lord." Inflation is a crime. It is an injustice in America, but nobody cares. Let me make a comment here because there are some Christians in the Christian community who believe the answer is to go back under the gold standard. I don't find anything in Scripture that commands the medium of exchange to be gold. I think it's actually a fallacy to believe that this yellow metal has some intrinsic value. Nothing in this world has intrinsic value. And to put all value in yellow metal called gold is very problematic. In colonial America, the colonists were short of European currency, so they made up checks or tickets. The baker could exchange tickets for bread with the blacksmith, and the blacksmith could exchange tickets for nails with the cobbler. The American dollar is a ticket system. It's a promissory note, and it's a good system. The problem is if the government cheats the system by printing tickets to create revenue. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But a financial meltdown of the U.S. government and economy is on the horizon. History proves that it will happen. Does that bother you to know that your wealth will be taken away from you? I wonder what will happen if there is a real financial meltdown in America. Will enough Americans have the character to do the right thing? Or will many Americans give up their freedoms and follow some globalist socialist leader in desperation to save their comfortable life? The character of a nation is tested in times of economic downturn. What they do to fix the problem tells everything about their core values. Well, we all better have listened to Jesus Christ and have laid up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not on earth. Because if you're banking on your 401k or Social Security, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Your riches need to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not about making money and building castles on earth, but about coming into a relationship with God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. You can contact us at godandcountryradio.org. Our telephone number is 732-583-9286. This is a ministry of Harvard Bible Church in Central Jersey. You are always welcome to come and visit with us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you have given us the Spirit of Truth so that we do not have to grope in darkness. But you have shown us the way to live. We pray for our nation that the people will repent of their unbelief and immorality and be put on the right path. Not for our own sake, but for the glory of your name, that this nation would be a light set on a hill for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.